Adventist World Radio. From broadcast to baptism. Powered by SID Media.
Oh, yes, indeed, powered by the SID Media. Mr. Mqai, good afternoon. No, it's not Mr. Mqai. It's actually, we've got our guest already on the line. Why am I saying you are Mr. Mqai?
Yes, we all come from the same father, so in one way or the other, we are related.
Yeah, man, you know, sorry, man, to mix my, you know, cups there. I'm speaking to Sanale Gumede. Thank you so much for joining us, sir.
It's only a pleasure, and I hope you are keeping well, my elder.
We are keeping well, indeed. Thank you so much for joining us. Now, we're talking about the assurance of sins forgiven. It's a VOP lesson, and it's something that many Christians, you know, grapple with. And how can we know that we have truly been forgiven, especially as fallible human beings who are constantly making mistakes and struggling to get things right? You know, but thankfully, the Word of God gives us insight, you know, through prophecy on where we stand with God. Now, please do take us according to Daniel's prophecy. Why did Jesus die? And just take us briefly through this lesson.
Yeah, thanks, my elder. So if we are setting our conversation in the context of Daniel chapter 9, where we find Daniel from the beginning praying to God, giving glory to God, for who God is. It gets to the middle part of the chapter, where as Daniel was saying, because this then gives us the context, in verse 8:20 of Daniel chapter 9, it says, "While I was still praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people and presenting my supplication before the Lord, my God, on behalf of the holy mountain of God." So the context that Daniel is giving us here, and in fact, as he's praying, an angel appears to him. And Daniel says distinctly that it was the angel Gabriel that said, "From the time that you began praying, I was sent to you." And this is then where the angel Gabriel mentions the fact that in verse 26, where the prophecy speaks about the anointed one or the Messiah being cut off. This is then the context that Gabriel gives to say, Jesus had to die for the forgiveness of our sins. And it was something that was prophesied. In fact, Daniel comes, obviously the way the sequence of the chapters of the Bible is not necessarily the chronology of the event itself. But as we know, for instance, you know, commonly know in the book of Genesis, chapter 3, after sin was introduced, we learn by studying prophecy that when God prophesied to Adam and Eve, when God made the first prophecy, and he made certain announcements that when we read those certain announcements, they give us a view of what was going to happen in the future. When God spoke about the serpent bruising the heel and them stepping on the head of the serpent to actually show that eventually we were going to overcome sin. And then I think where the story becomes a bit more clearer is when God gives the instructions through Moses for the children of Israel to make sacrifices when they have sinned, so that their sins would be forgiven. Not long ago, I was teaching my daughter the Adventurers a lesson about the lamb, and we needed to find the story about the lamb. And if we remember when the Israelites were leaving, when the Exodus was underway, there was an instruction for them to slaughter a lamb. So in the instructions of them leaving Egypt or escaping Egypt, there were specifications around the type of lamb. And the consistent thing between that and the time when God gave Israelites the instructions of forgiveness. The instruction was that the lamb must be blameless and all those kinds of things. And we learn later that those were symbols of Jesus Christ that was going to come. And Bible scholars even explain the Egypt bondage, making it similar to our bondage to sin.
Yeah.
To say through the death of that lamb, they were free from that bondage. And also through the sacrificial system that the Israelites had to undergo, through the death of the lamb, their sins would be forgiven. And we know that by studying those incidents, that the lamb represented Christ, who was then going to come as what Bible scholars call the type, as who the prophecies were pointing to say, through him, our sins were to be forgiven. So linking all this up, going back to the context of chapter 9 of Daniel, to say Jesus Christ, the Messiah, had to die for the remission of our sins.
Yeah. Now, do explain to us, if you can, the difference between being declared forgiven and being declared righteous. Is there a difference?
Yeah. So, you know, looking at a number of verses, and there are different angles at which, you know, we can address this point. My first point of call is just going to the original places where these words were used. If we talk about the context of righteousness, I'm not sure if different versions of the Bible, but most of the time it's the same place. So there's something that pastors call law of first mention. Where was this phrase or this term or this theme first? When did it first come about? And the word righteous, the first time we see it is in the book of Genesis chapter 3 and the verses 9. This is where the Bible speaks about Noah, where it says, these are the records of the generations in the family of Noah. Noah was a righteous man. And specifically, for my own reasons, I like the Amplified Version. And here's the one of the reasons why. It says, it does not just say Noah was a righteous man. It explains what righteous means. And when you go and check the Hebrew writings, and then you get to see why these words that are in brackets are used in the Amplified Version. It says, Noah was a righteous man, one who was just and right standing with God, blameless in his evil generation. Noah walked and lived in habitual fellowship with God. So there's that context that we can take when we speak about what righteousness is. And then on the other side, looking at being forgiven, the context of being forgiven is also found in the first time the topic of forgiveness comes about. Is in Genesis 32, verse 20. And this is where Jacob was being chased by his brother Esau. And he says, look, I hope that these gifts that I have forwarded to him will make him to be able to forgive my trespasses. So these two themes, when you read a number of verses, I think the first one is found 156 times righteousness in the entire Bible, and forgiveness is found about 136 times. And it seems as if both are used interchangeably to mean something similar. But forgiveness seems as if it comes after someone has done something wrong. Then there is someone who is a wrongdoer, and then there's someone who the wrong has been done to. And when the one whom the wrong has been done to forgives the one who has done the wrong, that's usually the context of forgiveness. However, when we talk about righteousness, righteousness seems not to be preceded by a form of wrongdoing. It seems as if it is a way of life that is ongoing. However, there are instances where both the words are used interchangeably. But the feeling that we then get, or the view that we get when we read about Noah, looking at the fact that even though there was evil happening around him, he himself lived a righteous life, avoiding evil. So, from what I've read, that seems to be the difference.
Yeah, interesting. Now, there's a story of Nettie Gibson, as outlined in the lesson, and how it relates to us. We can close off with that story, please.
Yeah, so this is a very interesting story, which is an event that can happen to any one of us, and it is set up in. I've heard of a similar story being told by one of the elders a couple of years ago, who used to conduct prison ministry. So the story of Nettie is that. As she was driving not too long ago, around 2011, she was involved in a car crash, and in that head-on collision, she obviously, as per normal, became unconscious and sustained severe injuries that took more than 10 hours of emergency surgery that had to be done on her. And she thought, look, this situation is so critical, I'm not going to make it. And she decided to write a letter, a goodbye letter, to her 13-year-old son. So fortunately, she didn't die. However, because of the nature or the impact of the of the accident, her life never remained the same. Worse off, she lost her job, and her life just deteriorated in many ways.
Yeah.
So then it came to a point where she was in court, it was another lady that had caused the problem. Or the accident, and this lady, or the perpetrator, was then was drunk, and the reason why, that's why then she was she caused the accident. And when Nettie, in her state, having lost so much of her life, seeing the state of the other woman who caused the problem, she went to the woman's attorney and said, "Please tell your client that I forgive her." And that day, she decided to appreciate forgiveness rather than hate. And I think this story then is told because it typifies what God has done for us. We are the ones that have sinned and caused the suffering of his son, deserving the punishment. The love of God, instead of extending judgment on us, God extends love on us. And there's one part of the lesson and in some of the questions around this piece that says, look, how can we know for sure that we've been forgiven? And I think I liked that piece. And for us, it's very important to know that the forgiveness of God is accessible to all, whomever accepts Jesus as his or her Lord and personal Savior, has access, regardless of the depth of sin we might brought ourselves into. The love of God extends beyond the depth of sin.
Beautiful. Well, my elder, thank you so much for the lesson. I think it's a very, very powerful, powerful, powerful lesson. I think we're going to be having you tomorrow once again, same time and same place. But thank you so much for coming through this afternoon.
Thanks, my elder. Blessings.
Thank you. Blessings to you.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.